This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for Making Yourself at Home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Okay, good morning, Taranaki. Welcome to Making Yourself at Home at 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here with myself, Brian from the United States, Cleta from Spain, and Bridget from Romania. Thank you so much for joining us, Bridget.
Thank you so much for inviting me, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. How are you all?
Well, brilliant weather. It's raining outside. We are all fine.
Maybe next week when this is airing, it'll be bright and sunny and everybody's outside enjoying the beautiful spring.
Yeah, so let's introduce, tell you a little bit about Bridget, although then she will tell us more about herself. So as Brian said, Bridget is from Romania, and she has been in New Zealand for 26 years. Initially, she was living in Auckland, and then she moved to Taranaki 8 years ago. She is a clinical hypnotherapist. She has published 4 books. She loves animals, and she's a very spiritual being. In her spare time, she likes making music and painting. Yeah, welcome, Bridget. Looking forward to learn more about yourself.
We usually like to start the show with hearing about your journey on how you arrived here in Taranaki.
Taranaki or New Zealand?
Whatever
well,
you prefer.
Yeah. I came to New Zealand for a better life, yeah. In the moment I came, I don't know if you guys know about the political scene in Eastern Europe. It was tough, yeah. I used to work in a radio, I had my own shows, and at that stage I graduated philosophy and anthropology, so I wrote articles. Not a radio like this, investigation journalist, so quite a hard job. Anyway, I arrived to New Zealand and I lived in Auckland where I loved it, absolutely loved it. My marriage broke up, I was left with my kids, so yeah, I lived there for many years. And then I came to Taranaki by mistake, if you can imagine that.
What do you mean by mistake?
I remarried and we decided to move to Australia. And I sold my house. And in the day I sold my house, I broke my leg to pieces. I needed emergency surgery with plate and screws in my leg. So we couldn't go to Aussie anymore. So we had to find straight away another house. And we looked on the map, and Taranaki was cheap. Never been to Taranaki. I'm married to a British guy. Never been to Taranaki. He never been to Taranaki. We bought a house almost over the internet and moved to Taranaki.
You moved to Taranaki how long ago? Then?
8 years ago.
8 years ago. Okay. I'd be interested to hear more about Romania, the Romania that you grew up in. I imagine a number of our listeners don't know the history of Romania.
I grew up in communist time. It was very tough, if you remember, but it was very arty. And the mentality was the second prize is the first loser. So you had to be first in everything. And I was. I had the capacity to learn and to study, so I was very good at what I've done. I still am, I think. No food, no power, power cuts all the time, so control over people, that was communist time. And then in 89 there was a revolution, which I witnessed. I had kids and I was on the streets with my babies. And when I immigrated, it was democracy, kind of. Now it is. Now it's very developed. But then it wasn't. It wasn't.
When you say you were on the streets with your children.
Yeah, there were shootings. There was a revolution as you see it on the telly. So we all went out because we had enough of the regime, the communist regime.
We usually don't get too political on the show, but your history does make me wonder what you think about when you see things on the news these days for people pushing for socialism and communism in certain areas, like the mayor of New York City being an outspoken communist.
Well, look, that's a personal opinion, and it's about myself. I am not a communist. I will never be, and I will never be a socialist. Mm. I believe in democracy, and if somebody is a socialist, or that's their choice. Yeah, mm-hmm. I cannot say more than that. I think that we should talk about left and right when we lived in left and right. Yeah, that's my opinion, meaning left wing and right wing. I don't know about, I try not watching the news. Yeah, I try not watching the news. I have Sky, like many people have, and my husband likes BBC. Of course, he's British. You want to know what's happening in London. But I don't watch that. I watch really weird. I watch only romance. That's all. I don't watch violence. I don't watch watch politics, because if you get into that, your mind will go pieces. Your mind will control you.
Yeah,
and you keep yourself healthy mentally if you live in your own bubble.
Yeah, I resonate with that. I do quite a similar thing. I like to know what's happening in the world because we are part of it. And then at the same time, I choose not to go like deep in some situations because I have the feeling that it will affect me a lot. And then I cannot focus on living my life here. I try to focus on the things that I can influence or the things that, I can put myself
I don't know if you realize, if you ever thought how short life is. Like yesterday, I remember I was 18. And now I'm going towards retirement. So life is very, very short. We should live it with love and love. That's, we don't know what love is. We don't know. We think we know what love is, but love. I don't want
to see. What is love for you? How will you describe it?
Well, unconditional love, but how can you say unconditional love? Do you know what unconditional love is? You never know if it's about you and the neighbor, which one you want to be richer or healthier or you. So what's unconditional love? There is no unconditional love. Probably if you believe in a higher energy or a God or an architect of the universe, well, that's God, that's love, but not us.
If you'd like, I'd like to hear more about your career as an investigative journalist. That sounds super interesting. If you'd like to talk more about your time here in Taranaki and move to the present, more than happy to go there. But if you'd like to tell us maybe some of the highlights of your career and the maybe most interesting things you found about being an investigative journalist.
As I said, I studied in the university. I studied philosophy and anthropology, and one of the minors was in journalism. And I learned in university something I haven't seen around the world, that the fact that a dog bites a human, that's not the news. When the human bites the dog, that's the news. So we were sent, we were in the morning, we were in the radio station, and then we are sent out on the roads. And you had to come with the news. You had to notice the news. The news was injustice. If somebody needed a home and council or something didn't take care of it, you were there on the case. Interviewed everybody, and you tried to sort out that person, actually. But another thing I don't find in the Western world is listening to both sides.
You never there's always another side of the story.
I was in politics. My expertise was politics, so I was in the politics area. And we had to find out everything. We had to find out if somebody had an affair. We had to find out if somebody's kid done something illegal. That's how it was in that time. Times changed. And then I came to New Zealand, and first news on the telly was should we cut down this tree or not, because it's shady here and not there. And the second was, this little chook had only one leg, and the whole community in a town adopted the chook, and the chook was so happy. And I looked on the telly and I thought, this is my country. That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't love my own country, my birth country. Mm. I adore it. I love the tradition. I never spoke Romanian with anybody since I came to New Zealand. There is nobody. My kids speak English. They don't live in New Zealand anymore, but they speak English. Mm. And I miss Romanian, so I try writing down thoughts so don't forget the country and the language. I miss my poetry, my music. This is my country.
A Romanian community here? Like, we know Alina, but apart from Alina, there's...
In Auckland, there was one. Mm. But I think you had the same. You meet up once a month and the gossip starts. And then you remember your own country and you think, oh, this is why I'm here.
Are there any traditions from Romania that you do keep in your household?
100%. My husband hates them all. I still do Easter in Romanian style by painting eggs. Okay. And he said, it doesn't matter what we eat for Easter. Now it matters. It has to be those eggs, and we have to have lamb with I don't know what. I do Christmas in Romanian style, meaning for me Christmas is Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day. That's when I expect my presents. And he's very chilled, my husband, very, very chilled. So he said, no traditions in Britain. I preserve like we used to do in Romania. I'm self-sufficient. Many, many things, many things.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way to stay connected with your roots and with your country.
Yeah, I don't have anybody in my country anymore, but I'm still deep down in my heart, my roots should be there. Yeah, I was born there for a reason.
And have you ever visited, gone back to visit?
Well, no.
Okay.
No, I am a big traveler. I traveled around the world, but what should I do there? I know the places. I know them all. I have a foster brother, I was fostered in his family, and that's all I have. And when I went back to Europe, I said, let's meet in Athens, because at least we see something new. And my daughter lives in Greece, so I'm so split, I cannot go everywhere. I'm planning a big trip, probably not next year, the year after, just to see how things changed. I know they changed because I'm a big TikToker and I see what's happening on TikTok.
Where are you planning to go?
In my town in Transylvania. Okay. In Transylvania. Yeah, that's what I plan seeing. My friends moved on. I moved on.
Of course.
I think you all feel like that, no? All of you feel like that. Everybody moved on.
I feel like still very connected with my community in Spain and my family. So, I have been lucky enough to be able to go every year, except during COVID, that we were not allowed to leave the country. But, my intention is to go there once a year, if I still can do that. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like I don't, when I go there, it's not like traveling, it's more like visiting, because normally I go to Madrid and to other places that I already know. So what I have started to do is like do small trips with my family to new places within Europe together. Yeah. And that's, then I can have a little bit of both. Yeah, what about you, Brian?
Yeah, I'm still very much an American. And I still have very close connections back in the States with family and friends. Some friends I chat with on a Facebook or a WhatsApp group pretty much daily. I still listen to very American music and have a very American personality, I believe.
I listen to American music.
Those roots are there and they will forever be there.
Well, it's different age. When you'll be at my age, you'd realize that all your friends who, for example, were single when you left, it's an example, would get married, they have children, mm-hmm. grandchildren. They raise differently the kids. They do different things. And you feel that your, you know, life moved on for them. Mm-hmm. You weren't in their lives. For you, life stayed the same. Mm-hmm. The state mm-hmm. stayed the same. So in probably 30 years, you'll start feeling this. Maybe, maybe not. But mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, I've spent just about half of my adult life out of the United States. So it's interesting what you're talking about, how things stay the mm-hmm. same there and we move on.
Yeah.
And people change, but people don't change at the same time, and relationships yeah. and dynamics change, but at the same time there's that base level core connection that you have with the people that you've known for your whole life.
Yeah, it's a combination for me too. I think like we are lucky that these days we have the technology to stay in touch with them in a way that with some of my friends there, I also talk with them almost every day, and we send each other voice messages that are like podcasts, and then we listen when we can because of the time difference. So even though like I am not there physically present to see what's happening in their lives, with some of them, we managed to stay connected. So when I am there in person, like the bond is still there. But it's true that it's hard to do that with every connection that you have in Spain. So it only happens with a few. Yeah.
Moving to the present, I suppose. If you can give a reflection on what it felt like, besides feeling so welcomed by the news and the current events you ran into in New Zealand. Which I can certainly relate to, hearing about traffic jams filled with sheep when I arrived and was very entertained by that. What else made you feel welcome in New Zealand, and what did you struggle with as you settled in here?
Look, I have an accent. The accent will never go. That was always a problem. I would have wanted to speak like others, like Kiwis, but it doesn't work like that. And there is science behind it. The vocal cords close at 18. So if you immigrate before 18, you may lose your accent, but if you immigrate after 18, the accent will stay. Everything in New Zealand was different. Even the toilet was flushed differently. Everything, every little thing, prices were different. We calculated, we had millions, I don't know, piece of butter was, a block of butter was 5 million, And you came here and it was $2 something or $1 something. I remember when I came to New Zealand, petrol was 68 cents. So that was, and the chilled people are very relaxed here. They say tomorrow is another day. Well, in my country, tomorrow is not another day. Everything should be done today. So I love that. In regards to what I didn't like, because I have to say there were things I didn't like. In regards to my accent, anytime I met a Kiwi, instead of asking me, how are you doing, taradam, the question was, where are you from? Mm. And in my country, that's an offense when you ask. So it's offensive. And I took it offensively. And then I realized that's how they are. And I said, look, I am from Inglewood. What about you? And this is where the conversation stopped.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like when people notice that you have an accent, they ask you, where are you from? I try to think that they have a good intention and
they
that
have.
Perhaps we are exotic in a way, and perhaps they are curious to learn more about you and where are you coming from. Mm. But it's true that I have that a lot. Yeah, when I talk with people that I don't know, they will very soon ask me where I am from.
So yeah, in general, I liked it. And look, I'm still here. If I felt that it wasn't nice, I would have gone back to my country, or because I was welcome there, or somewhere else. I thought a few times to moving to Europe, and then I thought of moving to Aussie, but that would be just because I have a child in Aussie, not because it's better than here. I have a good life here, a very good life.
Tell us about it, please.
I'm curious about your books.
I have my own practice, which is amazing. I would work for myself. I do whatever I want. I don't have any boss, never had in my life. Even back in my country when I was at the radio contracting. And I work with stop smoking, all sorts of phobias, all sorts, fear of flying, fear of all sorts, weight loss, anxiety, all sorts. And I have many clients that come from the doctors, yeah, because it's an easy way of sorting out problems. No pills, no nothing. And my books are, two of my books are on past life regression, cases from my practice. I don't do past life regression anymore because it's very, for me, it's draining, absolutely draining, because you hear the drama of people going to other lives and people who don't want to believe there are other lives and the scaredness and the fear that they are there. So I don't do it at the moment.
And so past life regression is going into people's literally past lives and they investigating
go.
That.
They go. Yeah. So they
through
go
hypnotherapy, no?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they go. Okay. They are hypnotized and I just ask the questions. But the things they see, and they are quite scary, maybe for me because they are hypnotized, for them they don't matter. So yeah, those are two of my books, and I wrote them years ago, and they're selling well in the States, of course. And I have a book on Kundalini. Have you ever heard of Kundalini?
Oh, I
am a Kundalini yoga teacher.
Okay, I am too. And that's on Kundalini yoga. That sells very well. And I have another book. I am specialized in the Vedas. Do you know what the Vedas are? Yeah. So I learned Sanskrit and I translated the Vedas to understand them well, because I don't believe, I'm very suspicious. I come from an Eastern European country and I'm suspicious. So if you tell me that that's white, I have to prove to myself, yeah, or green or red. So I am specialized in the Vedas, and in a spiritual community I live in, my best friend, who's a very, very, very old guy in Auckland, he specialized in Kabbalah. So we wrote a book together called He Said, She Said, meaning he explains through Kabbalah time, space, existence, God, Christ, Antichrist, and whatever. And I explain, I reply through the Vedas' point of view. So I'm a very, very, very spiritual person, but I'm not a hippie. I love makeup. I love technology. I'm 21st century, and I'm sorry I'm not younger. I'd be even more, I don't know, modern.
Both things can coexist. Yeah. You can love like spiritual things and love makeup at the same time.
Usually when you say spirituality, you think Woodstock and flower power.
So please share with us the links to those books. I'm sure listeners will find those topics super fascinating.
My website is holistichealing.co.nz, and on my website there is a link to the shop, and they can go on Amazon and buy them.
Cool. Nice. And we'll make sure to post that on our
Facebook page. Or they can go on, I am on TikTok and Facebook and one name them all, under the Astral Chick. Yeah, so they can go there
and
find there. Them. Yeah,
and if they want to book a session with you for hypnotherapy, on your website too?
On my website they can book. So I want your listeners to understand that this wasn't planned, the links and stuff like that. It just came through, so it wasn't like advertising for me.
But for us, this
is...
We love to share what our guests do and how people can connect with them. So we do this all the time, with everyone that comes.
Can you tell us a bit about the science of hypnotherapy?
Well, it's not something you can do without studying, let's start like this. And you have to be specialized in something after the studies, and you have to go quite deep. I have master's diplomas and certificates and, a bunch of them. And then there is an association, a national board, where you have to register. Maybe you can work unregistered, but I don't think so. Yeah. So you have to register. And according to your studies and your experience, they will register you on levels, the highest levels, level being clinical, meaning you work with medical cases. Well, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, but I guess because of my age in time, I got there. Otherwise, yeah.
And the science behind how hypnosis works.
Well, with how it helps people.
It's, first of all, if you want to believe, there is the left and right lobes of the brain, yeah. But then there is the subconscious and conscious parts of the mind. Freud says there is much more than that, yeah. But we just refer to subconscious and consciousness. The consciousness is around 10 to 15% of your mind. So you function, and me and everybody else, on the conscious mind, 10%, 15%. We never use the rest. The subconsciousness can be kicked in theta brain waves, and those are very high meditation. As you say, you're meditating. Some people are able to meditate with somebody that's another in another town and see that person's color of the t-shirt they wear, yeah? And or in hypnotherapy, where you calm the mind down to that level that every affirmation or every suggestion is grasping by the brain, by the mind, sorry, grasping by the mind. And that's how the change is done. I had people, I don't accept everybody, yeah? They come to an assessment. Mm-hmm. And if, for example, it's for stop smoking, I'll ask them on a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you want to stop smoking? And they say 5. I say, go, go. I'm not getting your money because I will have bad publicity. I cannot work with you. Go. But if the person really wants it, where there is a will, there is a way. Yeah. Mm. If the person really wants it, the mind will grasp in the suggestions. And those suggestions are metaphors. Mm. If I, for example, tell you, Brian, go and, I don't know, start painting, you will think, why should I start painting? I cannot paint. I never painted. I don't like colors. And they are the arguments. But if I tell you, no, the ocean is blue and the sky is baby blue and there is a white cloud on top and it's puffy and beautiful, and then there are the seagulls flying high and I don't know, the sand is so soft, and would you like to paint that? You think, I should try it. Mm. Mm-hmm. No, it's, you're already in the story. I put you in the story. You just have to get, have to try to do it. But if you really want it, you will. There were people who came, and I do 3 sessions for stop smoking. And there are people who came, and after the first session, they went home and done, forgot about smoking.
Oh, wow. And is there something they need to do after the session with you to integrate?
No,
or is that happens organically?
I hate that when people give them CDs. And, well, that means that as a practitioner, you didn't do your job. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Why do you give them the CD? Why did you sell the CDs then? Mm-hmm. So no.
So they go there and then they keep doing their own thing. They keep living.
Yeah. Yeah. So the work that you do, it's usually just a single session.
For stop smoking and for weight loss, they have to book 3 sessions.
Okay.
Because some people will give up, for example, smoking in the first, some in the second, some in the third. Okay. Yeah. But I never had one not giving up, and most of them in the first session. Mm-hmm. Also, there are medicals. I have to check on their medicals. Not everybody is allowed to do hypnotherapy, because I'll take you out from the reality and I'll put you in another reality.
Mm.
So if you have some illnesses, or if you have, you're on a medication that for me is question mark, then I'll tell you, look, go back to your doctor and find something else. Or if I'm unsure, I'll ask for a referral from the doctor. Mm. I cannot just play with people.
Mm. Mm. I'm sure the regular listeners to the show knew my ears perked up when we started talking about the subconscious, some of my favorite topics to have conversations about. And it was really interesting to hear you say that the use of metaphors is part of the practice, and thinking, so I'm an amateur Carl Jung fan, and he talks about the use of symbols in dreams for the subconscious to communicate with the conscious. So when I think about you speaking about the subconscious and the use of metaphors, so metaphors are often symbolic. You know, one thing really means something else. So you're speaking, you're triggering something in the subconscious through the use of symbols to communicate, I guess, with consciousness, then it seems like. Something like that.
Well, you mentioned dreams. I'll go back there. I always advise people, not my clients, people, to have a notebook next to their bed and start journaling. When you wake up in the morning, you remember for a second your dream. Write it down. There is a reason why you dreamt that. Mm-hmm. There is a reason. Your mind didn't go wandering because you weren't in a total coma. So, you know, you just slept. And about metaphors, what is not a metaphor? The Bible is a metaphor. The Vedas are metaphors. Can you tell me 100% you're a scientist? Can you tell me 100% that this world is material? No, it's a metaphor for the material world.
Language is symbols.
Language. Everything. Yeah. Everything. Numbers, colors, everything is.
Right. Mm. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are coming towards the end of our show today. And normally we ask our guests, if someone was to move to New Zealand or to Taranaki, what will be your recommendation for them to make themselves at home?
Tell them to come, because it's a very good life. I don't think there are many countries on this planet where so many people have a roof over their heads, honestly, and a good roof. Young people are able to buy houses. Well, in Europe, you cannot do that. I don't know about the States. Food is unbelievable, and you can grow your own food. I have chooks, I have ducks, I have veggie garden, I have fruit trees in the city. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They will find a job. Nobody will put them down, because nobody plays with stuff like that in New Zealand. People are quite good. So, yeah, I would advise them to come. Now, about Taranaki, this is a gem, Taranaki. I lived in Auckland. It was amazing. I went to every concert. I'll call myself a muso, a musician. So I went to see
your gigs.
My love of my life. So I've seen the Stones, the Rolling Stones, and, you know, all sorts, yeah, because I'm into rock. But here in Taranaki, I think that we are on a crystal. Many spiritual people, many open-minded people, very green. If you travel, I have to go once a month to Auckland to a conference, and when we travel back, it's dried everywhere, and here is green. Mm-hmm. You click into the area where Taranaki starts, and it's green. Farms. I love farmers. Honest people. Honest, down-to-earth people. So if you live somewhere else in New Zealand, come and buy a house for $500 or $450,000 and live a life in Taranaki. Mm. Beautiful town. I think the council is glorious. I deal with them because I do the wellness fair, and I hire the hall from them. They're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So come to Taranaki.
Taranaki is a gem.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And If you have time, we'd like to hear more about your music before the show we chatted. And...
that's a story. Okay. I'm a drummer. Okay. Yeah, I'm a drummer. And I have acoustic drums and I have electric drums. And I started playing a little bit of keyboards because it went well together. And then I started playing bass guitar because they go well together. And a little bit of harmonica and the Indian harmonium. Yeah. But lately, and you'd know about that, I bought myself on my birthday a lap steel guitar. Mm. And I love it. Now, this is the love of my life.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah.
Who are your favorite inspirational artists with the steel guitar?
I don't know many. Okay. I don't know, because I bought it because I liked the sound.
Yeah.
And I'm not into country music. Well, I wasn't. Now I am.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when I seen what a complex instrument that is, I fell in love with it. Mm. But a great musician, that's my husband. He's a guitar player. Well, he plays like an angel, but yeah, together we jam every night.
Cool.
And do you sometimes like play in front of people in some of like these jam sessions?
I avoided lately okay. because I'm at that age when I don't have to do things anymore. I do because I want to do. But with the lap steel, I'll go back to open mics because I like the instrument. I love the sound, yeah.
So perhaps we will see you in one of these open mics.
I may do a little blues. I may do a little country. I don't know.
That's awesome. Mm.
Well, I'd recommend going back and listening to my interview as a guest on the show because, let's see, I believe back in the day we used to have musical interludes that the guest got to pick. And the first song I had was a Hank Williams Sr. song, which I'm sure featured the steel guitar. And I think I spoke quite a bit about the subconscious and exploring that, my experience of exploring the subconscious.
Well, it said that the 21st century will be spiritual or it won't be at all. So, yeah. So if you start looking at the mind and if you start living inner yourself, then you're a human. Otherwise, what are you?
Mm.
What are you?
Mm. You're a human being or a human doing?
Yeah.
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 Well, our time is definitely coming to an end here. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us in the audience? Or?
Well, I don't even know. It felt like a second. I really enjoyed it. You're great guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming and sharing about what you do and your story.
Well, I'd say something else. I opened a YouTube channel that's very, very early because I... another passion of mine is ancient history and mythology. At the age where everybody was in love with Robert Redford, for example, or Jimi Hendrix, I absolutely loved Alexander the Great. So that's how it started. And I have a little YouTube channel called The Astral Chick, of course, and it's little stories, little myths, 3 minutes, I don't know, Helen of Troy, Alexander the Great, the Trojan War, things that these kids have no clue they existed and they never heard and they will never hear about. It's more European. But like this, they would like it because it's a little story behind everything. Do you want to be Alexander the Great and build that empire or do you want to build a spiritual empire? 3 minutes, short.
Mm. Yeah, it's what people like these days, short and sweet. Yeah. 1 minute, 3 minutes max.
Yeah,
we can share that. We will share that also in our social media.
It's at the beginning. I have a few followers, but I'll go a little bit more and probably I'll open a podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if and when that happens, feel free to come back on the show to promote it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd really like to chat with you again. This has been a really... really interesting and fascinating conversation. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll close out here from Making Yourself at Home on 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice, Radio Taranaki.
See you next Monday, 11 a.m.
Take care, Taranaki.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.